This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 18th, episode 1171, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of the year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable host, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me. But I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
They're off in the Preakness. And it's Mr. Z who's out the best. American Pharoah on the inside thunders on through now. And American Pharoah will be tested early by Mr. Z as they come by us the first time. And Dortmund has taken off the pace. He's four legs off the lead. Then firing line, dividing rod, Bodhisattva and Danzig Mode on the inside. Taylor Bird trails the field as American Pharoah tries to shake away in the slot over Mr. Z through a flashy opening quarter mile in 22 and 4/5 seconds. And Dortmund is running in third position. He's five lengths off the lead. Then dividing rod, Bodhisattva, firing lines farther back than we thought he would be here. Firing line is about eight lengths off the lead, just ahead of Danzig Mode. And Taylor Verve is at the back of the field, up the back stretch. And the Kentucky Derby winner is the leader. American Pharoah has run a half mile in 46 and 2/5 seconds. And he's going along quicker than he did in the Kentucky Derby. He's in front by 2.5 lengths. Mr. Z is second, and Dortmund is closer now. And he's moving up on the outside. And now American Pharoah's lead is down to a half a length. Mr. Z is second, moving for the turn. Dortmund is caught wide in third. Firing line, not firing yet. In fact, he's dropping back. He is not going on today. American Pharoah is the leader as the field rounds the far turn. Dortmund is on the outside, running in second position. And Divining Rod is right there. Mr. Z is next, and the others are far behind. And they're coming to the top of the stretch. Three quarters in 1:11 and 2. And they're into the stretch in the slop at Pimlico. And American Pharoah has pulled away to a 2.5 length lead over Divining Rod. And then it's Dortmund. Tail of Verve, a huge long shot, is making a move on the far outside. But American Pharoah is all by himself. He is five lengths in front as they come to the wire. And American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Preakness over Taylor Verve. And then it was Divining Rod. Dortmund ended up third. Victor Espinosa and Bob Baffert get yet another chance at a triple crown in 3 weeks at Belmont Park.
Oh, my God, what a horse. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm praying for rain in Belmont. That horse glides on a muddy track.
You know, I do think that some of the others that we had picked to win, they just shut down in that rain and the mud. They just shut down.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything.
They're saying that
wasn't just mud. It was getting drenched before the rain.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so ironic. It started 5 minutes before the race. It's just...
Just crazy. And I mean, a torrential downpour 5 minutes before the race started. And I did love the quote from Victor Espinosa. I'm just cold. I just wanted to get it over with.
That's right. And he also said he didn't want to get muddy. He said, I didn't want to get dirt in my face. Well,
yeah, it was, I can't imagine a better ride by a jockey. You know, he is on the rail. which I don't know if you guys noticed when the gates opened, they'd actually shifted everybody down one.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's a common practice or do they do that in the rain, but he actually started from the two. So it gave him a little bit of extra room because the rail was a river. And I just thought, oh my gosh, he's got to hustle out of there. And lo and behold, the gates open and he just charges out of there. He said that American Pharoah broke a little slow. Well, he didn't keep him slow long. He hustled that horse to the front. And you're thinking, you know, on a normal horse, you're using up that burst of adrenaline right at the beginning. Like he was like, go, charged into the front. Mr. Z made this like kind of run at him. They were both speed horses coming out of the gate. But you know what? American Pharoah kept the speed, kept it going, and just did not stop. They went around the first turn, and he like, oh, I could slow down a little bit. Nobody's challenging me right now because every other horse was getting pelted with rain and mud, and they all just kind of stopped. I know Gary Stevens' horse, Firing Line, he said that when he broke, you know, I mean, if you watch the replay, He was stuck five wide. There was just nowhere for him to go. And I think, you know, it was such a great ride by the jockey, kind of saving Firing Line for another day, not trying to run him up to the front that wide. It was just perfectly executed by Victor Espinosa, just to hustle him up there, lay back a little bit. But that horse just has it. Does he not just have it?
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this after our daily whinnies today, because I've been reading some things, and of course, all of the people that say the same things every year when it comes to Triple Crown time are saying the same things. I want to talk to you about that a little bit too. But I was reading the New York Times. I was reading the article about the Preakness and, you know, American Pharoah winning, and all the comments about why do they run those poor horses in the mud. Do they not know that my horses run around in the mud and the rain all the time? It's like,
did you not see my Facebook post on Saturday night at freaking midnight when my horses are galloping like crazy in the pasture just for fun? Because when it starts raining, they start galloping.
Exactly.
But the reason I bring them in at midnight is that I would like to preserve what little grass I actually do have. So I don't have, you know, the people that Pimlico has out taking care of their track. It's just me. So I went out there at midnight and brought all my horses in and took a little heat from a lot of people that are like, oh, you get out there at midnight, your horses are spoiled. I'm like, no.
Nothing to do with the horses. I don't care about my horses. I care about the grass.
I want the grass to be there. Gosh. But no, you're right. They love it. But just to come around that home stretch like he did and make the final turn. And if you watch Dortmund, they need to get Dortmund a new jockey. I'm tired of Martin Garcia. I'm tired of him. He goes to the whip as they're going into the final turn. Did you notice that? Because mm-hmm. I like studied every single horse, and he just went to the whip maybe like halfway through the last turn, and he burned up all of it just trying to come out of the turn. And it was so frustrating for me to watch. I really hope that they get him another jockey. I was not happy two times in a row with his ride. So clearly they're going to do something about it because I'm going to write a letter. Just, I mean, the power that American Pharoah has. Holy smokes. Just to continue to glide like that. And Secretariat-esque, just to continue to pull away and pull away and pull away. It was just such a fantastic race. Just a showcase for how to do it, how the horse needs to look, how the rider needs to ride. Just unbelievable heart in the whole camp.
How do you feel, Jamie, about the race?
What do you pay me for? What am I here for?
I think it's fun. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, as you noticed, we've all got Triple Crown fever, so expect plenty of racing chat. We've also got the requisite weekend co-host adventures to cover. And then we've got some thought-provoking lists and the only horse people are this crazy headlines. And then galloping to the finish, the wacky world of Horse Nation wins my nose. So stay tuned for the fight.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Kelly Peterson, one of our listeners, for having really, really good taste. She has terrific taste for a listener because she posted on her Facebook page that she just had to play the Kegasus song for her husband. Thanks, Glenn. There's a woman who knows what she's doing right there. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kelly.
Well, I guess my Daily Winnie's got to go to my poor, poor husband.
Is he still stuck on the beach?
You know, Glenn, it's really sad. He was stuck a couple extra days in Hawaii, you know, just terrible, poor thing. And so now my husband has, I think right now, he's kayaking in Guam, just so you know. Like, seriously? Is this really a trip? He's like, this is dangerous. We flew over the ocean for 8.5 hours. I'm like, I feel so sorry for you. And the journey may be perilous, but when you land, your life is awesome. He sent me a picture from his balcony overlooking the crystal clear blue water in Guam. And I don't know if anybody has ever planned to take a vacation in Guam, but it's on my list because it's amazing. And the slaves' quarters that the poor guy is having to live in are just ridiculous. I mean, I just feel so bad for him with like this 10th story view of the entire island. It's just terrible. Poor guy.
It's not a very wide island either, is it? It's not a very big island, if I remember right from my World War II history.
I got to tell you, as the wife, you know, honestly, I tried to kind of look at Google Earth and see what his journey was going to be. And I was terrified because it is the kind of thing where, you know, 5 years down the road, they're going to find him on an island. And it's like, I'm going to have like, you know, another husband kind of thing. Like, it's crazy. It's Castaway. It is just begging for Castaway. Five fighter pilots stuck on an island, you know, surviving. It could be a movie. But fortunately, they made it safe and sound. But gosh, it was just terrifying to look at the flight path that they had to have. He sent me... I probably shouldn't say this, but he sent me a picture from the cockpit. Like, he take a picture, like, looking out, and I can't post it, but it was like the picture of this tiny little green speck off in the distance, and he's like, it's the only piece of land I've seen for 8.5 hours. Like,
it must
crazy.
Get boring, too. I mean, yeah, do they have autopilots and fighter jets?
You know, I asked him, I said, do you get so bored? And he said that, you know, you get tired of sitting still, but he said there's just so much going on at all times because they're flying right behind a big giant tanker. So they can't even go really fast because they would run out of gas. So there's a big giant flying airliner in front of them and they continually have to get gas and navigate and do all sorts
of
stuff.
So that gas thing looks perilous too. Having to, you know, nose up onto that thing that's coming down right above your head, basically. I don't know where the hole is for them, but I know some of the fighter jets is right behind the cockpit. I don't know where theirs is, but
same place exactly. So they have to. I call it. It looks like a mama bird feeding the baby birds, and the little baby birds have to kind of fly under and put this tiny little hole of the gas tank. You know how hard it is for me to just get the dang gas tank thing into the gas tank, you know,
standing on the
nozzle.
Ground.
They have to fly their jet underneath it and put the nozzle directly into this hole and then get gas and then they drop back down and move over and the next one goes. And so it's kind of a continual thing. And I guess they're always, he said they're always constantly thinking of what they would do if an emergency happened. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready to do that. So
defensive
I don't know.
Flying,
it seems very
huh?
stressful.
Defensive flying.
I am glad it's not. Yeah, Glenn, there's a reason we are sitting here behind a computer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Driving's bad enough. Well, let's.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, while he's out there working so hard, don't worry. I've just had to deal with a case of pink eye and now diarrhea with a child.
Oh.
So I got out the garden hose yesterday and hosed all my kid and.
you know, you do what you got to do.
Well, let's finish up our Freakness talk, and then we promise for those non-racing fans, we're going to go on and talk about other stuff today. But I just had to say a couple things. One was all the comments are starting to come out already because now we have a chance at another Triple Crown winner. And now Pletcher has come in, Todd Pletcher has come in and said, I'm entering three horses into the Belmont. And all of the people that say it every year are coming out of the woodwork saying they're same horses. There shouldn't be. They should be the same horses in all three races. Nobody should be allowed to come in and blah, blah, blah. Hey, people, that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it a once in every 50-year thing instead of a once every 5-year thing. Mm. It wouldn't be special if it happened all the time. Just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I agree with that. And I think, you know, what just goes through my mind constantly is Steve Coburn's comments after last year's Belmont.
Which one?
Do you remember
which one of his crazy comments?
There are many to choose from.
When he just, it's the coward's way out. It's the coward's way out. There's never going to be another Triple Crown winner. There's just never going to be one. Wouldn't that be hilarious if there was one this year?
This year.
Like, eat your words.
I think that, and obviously, that you know, when I was checking the news today, the number of articles has increased tenfold because now there is a chance, and he won. So all of a sudden, American Pharoah is in the news. So it'll be three weeks worth of American Pharoah, and then we'll see what happens. I know that they're going to be it will not be an 8-horse field. I guarantee you that.
Really? You think it's going
to
be huge?
I think it'll be 12 to 15 because Fletcher's going to enter his and everybody else is going to be gunning. They're always gunning for American Pharoah then. So they're going to be entering some horses.
Yeah. You know what? If you're going to do it, you got to earn it. Secretariat earned it. Seattle Slew earned it. Affirmed earned it. You know, they ran against fresh horses. So it's just the way that it goes. There'll be an asterisk by the winner if it was only horses this year were only horses that ran in the Preakness and the Dirt. There'd be four horses in the Belmont. So, you know,
exactly. You're right. You're right about that.
Yeah. Because not all of them can hold up to it. And I tell you what, if I had a horse that didn't win the Derby, I wouldn't run in the Preakness, but I'd go right back to the Belmont. So just because that's like your chance. So
Normal length of time between races for the grade races. That's the normal length of time. You would wait 4 weeks. You wouldn't go back in 2 weeks at that level of racing. Normally.
No, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. So I think it's going to be interesting, but I say it every time, not every time, but almost every time I'm like, this could be the one. And you know what? USA Today wrote an article and it said the reason American Pharoah is going to win the Triple Crown. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? USA Today. So I have the app. So I click on it. The reason, I figured you would love this article, Glenn, the reason American Pharoah is going to win the Triple Crown, not because of his fractions, not because of his connections, because of his name. They're like, that just sounds like a Triple Crown winner's name. Like, this is journalism?
They said the same thing last year for California Chrome.
Wow, they took their story cues from Horses in the Morning because he has a great name.
They had a writer that knew nothing about racing. That's like, that's funny.
He just sounds like a winner. They're like, what?
That's funny. Sounds like a winner.
That's funny. All right. Well, you went viral again, but before you tell us about Thor going viral again, we have a bumper now for Thor. There you go.
I love it. That's from like the cartoon in the 30s. Thor.
So
that's hilarious.
One. Yeah, it is.
That's awesome. So currently, you know, God love him. Monty Roberts shares Thor's videos because we're little students of his right now. And So I said Debbie, or I posted on Thor's page, and then Debbie saw it. Debbie Lau, Tamani Roberts' daughter, saw it. And it's kind of my final mounting block video. You know, I've shown a lot with the training ropes and everything, but to have Thor walk up to the mounting block, let me back up. When I used to mount Thor, I would attempt to get a foot in the stirrup, and he's a big boy, and he would just swell with tension. And the second I would throw my leg over the saddle, he would bolt. And of course, when you bolt, you know, you pull that the inside rein, and so he would just spin in circles. So I sent a letter to the inmate who trained him. I said, "Hey, what do you do?" And he goes, "Oh, just let him bolt while you're standing up. Let him spin, and then when he stops spinning, sit down and pet him." And I was like, "Oh hell no, I'm not doing that. Are you crazy?"
That inmate's braver than you are.
Well, of course he is. He's also had like broken bones from mustangs, and I don't want to be like that. So I saw this way on Monty Roberts University to actually walk up and you stand on the mounting block and the horse actually moves over to you. It is the coolest thing. So I taught Thor and I posted like the little training videos up to it, but this is the final video. And it wasn't even his best effort, but I thought, you know, I had somebody to video it. Let's post it. So Monty shares it on his page and it's great. You know, whatever, he comes over the mounting block. He's super calm. I love it. Great. It currently has like 1,200 likes and 32,000 views on Monty Roberts' page. Thor has like, you know, a couple hundred views on his page, but Monty shares something and it goes crazy. Well, it's not even the video that's the story here. It is the comments. The comments are hilarious. There's some chick on there whose first comment is, and you know, it's like Thor says on his thing, "I used to be terrified when someone would mount me. Well, not anymore. I love this super gentle Monty Roberts technique. No more fear or bolting." And this chick named Marissa comments, "That's cheating. Mounting from the ground requires more skill and muscles."
Well, it also requires Jamie to be about 6 inches taller.
I just was like, you just opened the floodgates. So Monty's page replies back, "Mounting your horse from the block is better for your horse's back." Well, all these people are like, "It's not about you, dopey. It's about the horse." And she's like, "Who are you calling dopey? You better watch it." And then, like, all these other people are like, "That's great. That's beautiful." And then they're like, "Marissa, mounting from the ground is the same stress in the horse's body," and blah, blah, blah. And all these people are like, only trying to find the one. Here we go. I see somebody writes, "I see there are still stupid people around. Mounting from the ground, as Monty says, is not good for the horse's back. What kind of skill are you talking about? Your skill? Have you ever watched a fat ass mounting a horse? I cringe from poor horse." Then this girl writes back, "Are you calling me a fat ass? You better get some glasses because you better watch how you talk to people you don't even know." Oh, I love it. And in between those are, "Wow, great job training your horse. Good job. I love the patience." And it's like, "No, you're stupid. Oh, no, you're stupid and you're fat."
Wow.
You know, it's
not directed at me, so I'm okay.
We thought trolling was going to go away when you had to have your name on it and you weren't anonymous anymore, because trolling used to happen so much more when you were doing anonymous posting on forums. Like the Chronicle. Does the Chronicle forum even exist anymore, by the way, with Facebook? I got to imagine that attendance has gone down with the Chronicle forum. But anyway, I thought that it would decrease the trolls out there, but it certainly hasn't, has it? They're still out there.
No. People don't. They think they're anonymous, but you're not, because I just said your name, Marissa. You're not anonymous.
But you know
and
what?
By the way, she's not.
It is self-policing, though, isn't it? Because when somebody makes a really stupid comment because they haven't thought or just don't know or whatever, the other people take care of it. You don't need to say a word. It's taken care of by other people. So you didn't have to respond to that because everybody else did. So,
I didn't even know that they had shared it until I started getting like tons of new likes on Thor's page. I'm like, why am I popular? Oh, because Monty Roberts shared me or shared Thor. So, yeah, while Thor is fantastic and awesome, this is hilarious, and I'm just sitting back and watching it happen.
That's funny. Well, good job. Good job, Thor. He's learning. He's learning to be a horse. Well,
now, the other part of my, I'm sorry, the other part of my Thor story is don't change a Mustang's routine. Whatever you do, keep his routine the same. You know, I guess he was gelded late. I had irrigated, and so I was trying to move the horses around. So I put Thor out in the pasture with a couple other horses. The one, he usually goes out with Jet, who's a total jerk, and the pony, who's pretty scrappy. So nobody ever gets hurt. I put him out with Duke. He beat Duke to death. Oh my gosh. Like, he's so mean. He is so mean. He's like, nobody eats. It is all my food. You will stand back. I had to bring Duke in because he had scrapes along his back. My neighbor called me. She's like, are you watching this? You better go out and get your horses. Like, what? I go out. Thor has decided that he is the boss of everybody and everything, and he would not let anybody get close to the food or the water.
Well,
no water for you.
You know, this is partially your fault, because do you remember what we always have said about names? What you name your horse is what they'll become. Thor thinks he's the god of thunder. Yeah. You better watch it if Thor is walking around with a big hammer. If he shows up with a hammer someday, just look out. I wouldn't try and mount him then.
He sleeps with it. So, speaking of names, how's little Scooter doing?
Well, let's find out. I have to tell you what happened to me on Saturday and Scooter. But first, let's take a listen to Omega Alpha, and we'll be right back. I have a Scooter story for you.
I'm connected to the shoulder bone. Shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And of course, you can find Omega Alpha on Facebook as well. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. All right, go ahead and play it. Play it.
My little pony.
So we, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, we're going out. It's getting hot here now in Florida, so we have to go out riding and driving early. So we were going to go out and get our drive in before it got too hot, take a ride around the neighborhood. And so I go out to get the pony who's in the backfield by himself, and I am bringing him in, and I'm walking along just not paying attention, you know, just like normal. Well, he decides to spook and rear and came down. And we've all had this happen with his sharp little pony hooves. He came down on the side of my ankle where that little bone sticks out.
Oh.
And really hard. And then it caught the side of my foot, you know, landed kind of on the side of my foot. And we all know what that feels like and what our immediate reaction is like, oh! And, you know, I was limping around for a while, and the pain finally went up. I thought he had maybe broken the little bone thingy that sticks out the side of your foot. I don't know what that's called, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought, oh, man, that's gonna swell up good. But, you know, I managed to walk a little bit of it off, and then I took him in all the time going... And when a horse steps on your foot or a pony, you just get in a bad mood instantly. You're just like, oh, man, that just sucks. So you're walking, I'm limping in. Jennifer's like, what happened? I tell her what happens. So I thought, well, I'm going to get the pony ready to drive. And I put the harness on him, and I'm still fuming about my foot. I took my sock off.
That is the worst. the worst thing too is when they spook and they spook toward you. Like, get off me. At least spook away.
Exactly. And you know, when they do that, it happens so fast, you can't move. I mean, this is why I bust Wendy's chops all the time for wearing flip-flops around the horses.
Oh, gosh.
I know. So I took my sock off, make sure I wasn't bleeding, you know, and didn't need stitches, but I didn't. So I was like, I'm going to drive the pony anyway. So we get him all harnessed up. And then I'm ground driving around. And, of course, now he's in a mood because, you know, I said a few choice words in the field. And, you know, he's all fired up. And I don't know what spooked him in the field. It was nothing happening. So we think it's shadows. We think my pony's afraid of his own shadow. So we... I walk ground drive him for a little bit, bring him over to the carriage, and he's being extra feisty, and Jennifer always helps me, always heads him, and we're putting the shafts in the harness, and he's just turning his head and everything, and I finally get the reins and just try and pull his head around. Well, he throws his head up and hits me smash in the face. Luckily, I was actually wearing my helmet at the time. I had my helmet on already, and the visor caught most of it, but part of the harness hit me and took a chunk out of my nose.
Oh, my God.
So my nose is bleeding. And you know what that... If there's two things that you can do that piss you off as a horse owner that the horse can do, one is rear up and stomp your foot. The second is smash you in the face and hit your nose, right? Those are the two things that just... So I'm bleeding and, you know, not too bad, but he did take a chunk out of my nose. And, you know, thankfully I had my helmet on or he would have hit me full force. I probably would have broke my nose then. But so it's like I said to Jennifer, okay, that's it. I'm not driving today. It was like, I'm not doing this. This is a recipe for disaster. I am in a mood now. He's in a mood now, and nothing good was going to happen. So I ground drove him for about 5-10 minutes till we ended on a happy note. And then Jennifer later on actually lunged his little legs off. But have you ever had a situation where those kind of series of events happen? You're going, I'm just not riding today. It's not a good idea. Or am I the only one that bailed out?
Before you said it, I was going to say, please tell me you just walked away.
I did.
Just put him back.
Well, I did. I did suck it up and ground drove him a little bit so we'd end on a happy note. But yeah.
I was going to say, or hand him off to your wife and let her work his little butt off.
And I could see the look on her face after he smashed me in the face. And I'm like, I thought I broke my nose. I could see the look on her face was, oh, my God, I hope he doesn't drive this pony.
Not gonna end well. It really wasn't. Yeah.
So I'm not the only one. I should have walked away. I felt like a wimp after, I gotta tell you, because it was like I shouldn't have walked away. But I probably should have walked away. It probably really should have.
Well, I mean, my God, he took out your top and your bottom. Exactly. What do you want? And eviscerate you in the middle?
Yeah, that was next. Is kicking me there.
Right in the jejunum?
Yeah.
That's all that was left.
Yeah. Yeah, Glenn, if you had continued, you would have been America's Funniest Home Video.
Yeah.
You really would have.
Nothing good was going to come out of it.
Like, oh, you're not going to walk away? Okay, hold on. Let me go get my camera. Let me clear out some memory on my phone so I can video the next hour.
You know, and then my foot actually did not swell up as much as I thought it would. I got ice on it and everything. I thought it was going to be much worse, but I do still have a chunk out of my nose. So Dr. Rose's was on my nose over the weekend.
Yeah. Did you have a black eye or anything?
No, thankfully. I would had I not had my helmet on. It was the brim of the helmet that stopped most of him.
It really made a crack.
Yeah.
When he hit the helmet, I heard it crack. It was a little scary.
He would have broke my nose.
Yeah.
For sure, my nose would have been broken. Because he just threw his head. And we've all had that happen, right? But he had a harness on, and harnesses, blinkers, and all that other stuff. So I think one of the metal parts caught me in the nose is what caught me. But it would have been bad. I may not have been here this morning had I had to go to the hospital.
Man. Well, we're glad you're okay, and we're glad you're fine, and we're glad he's not 17 hands and 2,000.
Do you know what, though? It just goes to show you it doesn't matter what size they are, right? Minis hurt people, too. Doesn't matter the size, whether they're well, Thor sized or Hackney sized.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also going to be a good lesson for you to not keep your head anywhere near that situation again. Like it's like somebody upstairs is like, hey, this one's on me. You got lucky. I'm going to let you have this one.
I did, because I normally don't put my helmet on until I'm ready to get in the cart. We've already had it harnessed up, and I'm ready to get in the cart is when I put the helmet on. But I'm glad I thought about it ahead of time. Maybe it was after the foot thing. I was just feeling paranoid. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You don't usually put your helmet on to take it off the dashboard of the carriage. Yeah, good point.
I never had this problem when he was starving and skinny.
You know what? There's the lesson. If you need to get them all hungry,
keep them hungry.
Again.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Keep them hungry and weak.
See, now, Jennifer, I want to point to you right now. Do you now see how you need to sell that well, broke, dead, quiet, safe horse of yours and get something a little crazier so you can add to the conversation, too?
Yeah, you have nothing to offer.
I know. I'm sorry. I have very little to contribute to the program, and it's all Beaker's fault.
You know, I mean, there are plenty of bad ads that we read on Fridays where they would love to trade their crazy horse for one like Beaker.
You're right. You are absolutely right. I will take that under consideration.
Hey, yeah. this leads right into a perfect transition into a list that we found over on Horse and Hound. So it's got a British slant to it, but it doesn't matter because it's the top 10 firsts for horse owners that make them want to question the wisdom of horse ownership. So these are things after you get your horse that happened to you the first time and you go, oh, and guess what the first one is? The first time your horse smacks you in the face. This says as you're hanging his hay net, but it could be anything like harnessing and tacking him up. That could be too.
Yeah.
We've all been smacked in the face through it. Happens to all of us. And usually, though, it's the other way. It's when the horse's head is down, you're in front of him, and he brings his head up quickly and hits you in the chin. Oof. That's when it usually...
I'm paranoid of that.
Yeah.
I am paranoid of that, especially when they're in the... Like, you're brushing their forelock or something, they're in the wash rack, and they put their head down. I'm like, oh, Becca, it makes me flinch a little bit.
Yeah, and it's happened to all of us. I mean, we've all been smacked in the chin and bitten our tongue, right? Because of the horse. And they all do it. They're just being horses. But it's just wrong place, wrong time. The second one is first time you wear your beautiful and very expensive Italian breeches and find a smear of green slobber down them. Yeah.
See, what I saw when I read this was I've never owned a pair of expensive Italian breeches.
Now, Penny, I have a question for you. You have a bunch of horses that you take care of. Is there one horse in your herd that you can't get within an arm's length of that one horse without guaranteeing you will have a slobber mark?
On your cheap Dublin breeches.
Like, my cheap Dublin breeches. Jen, I would say that it's just all of them. But like Jet, when you walk into his stall, for some reason he finds that it is his job to rub his head on you, no matter where you are standing, and he will slam you into the rails. It's really, really bad. And I mean, I really need to work on that. But he marked his territory.
You haven't watched that video over at Monty Roberts University yet. You need to watch that one next.
No. Well, Monty Roberts says don't hit him in the face. So we disagree in that aspect.
The pony.
Let's be real. Here.
Pony can be glad that didn't happen to him on Saturday. The first time you realize these are the first time horse owner things that make you question why you're owning a horse. The first time you realize that your horse has been a little too quiet for an hour or so, and you walk into his stall and find him grinning next to a chewed, stomped, pooed on, smeared rug on the ground. You know, when you put his blanket on and he decides to take it off and stomp it into oblivion. We've all had that happen. And that's usually when you buy the horsewear blanket that's $300 and it's 2 days after you get it. That's when that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, mine is the opposite. I guess I have a lot of tattletales. If one of the horses is doing something wrong, like my warning is when I hear whinnying. I'm like, oh, no, somebody got out. or somebody did something. Somebody is out eating the grain. Somebody has gotten into the hay bin. Yeah, they all start whinnying, and they're like, it's like they're going, Mom, you got out.
Do you know there's a story? I don't know. We'll take a tangent here quick because you brought it up. It's a good transition into this real quick. Did you see the article I posted? And this was on, I'm not sure what this was on. Might have been Horse and Hound also. And it was researchers find that equines, no, this was on Daily Mail. This was on the UK's Daily Mail. Researchers find equines express emotion through their whinnies and reveal that there are two different frequencies that they use. Now, I want you to see, I want you to give this the approved or crap. This is crap. So what they did is they wanted to learn about the emotions of horses. So they tested 20 groups of horses by exposing them to various positive and negative situations. This allowed the researchers to study an individual's horse's reaction when members of the group were removed and later returned. Researchers used cameras and microphones to record the behavior and vocalizations of the horses and also measured the animal's physiological responses, heart rate, breathing, and all that. The findings show that the intensity of emotions, now this is a dull moment here, the intensity of emotions is best indicated by heart rate and respiratory rates. Okay. The horse's movements and characteristics of the lower of the two fundamental frequencies of the whinny was an indication also. Specifically, the more aroused the horse is, the more its heart rate and breathing increases. Well, we knew that. It moves and produces whinnies, which are of the lower of the two fundamental frequencies. And that's regardless of whether the emotion is positive or negative. So what they're saying is basically they have a different whinny for when the emotion is positive or negative. One's lower and one's higher. And that they talk to each other with their whinnies and they can express emotion with their whinnies.
And somebody paid for this?
It's a typical question we have with studies, yes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, yes, now they've studied it, and they've determined that horses are talking to each other with their whinnies. We just thought they were doing it for fun. I
can't believe you took the time out to even read that. I mean, that's like ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. All right, next one. The first time your horse decides to help you with mucking out the field by tipping over your wheelbarrow. Oh, we've had that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always when it's full. It's never when it's empty. It's always when it's full.
No.
In the stall, too, that's happened several times. There are horses that are just good at it. They just turn around and tap it with their butt, or they take their nose and go, and it's gone. And you know they're doing it on purpose.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
How about the first time you find yourself sitting alone in a freezing cold barn at 2 a.m., praying to every god you've ever heard of that you still have a horse in the morning? And we've all done that with colic, haven't we? Walking horses at 2 in the morning.
I remember when I was like 17, 18, I walked my horse the entire night, and then he went and had surgery the next morning. But it just, we've all been there.
Yes, we have. How about the first time you walked 2 miles across a field and Dale in full hunting kit, trying to muster as much dignity as you can to retrieve the bloody thing that chucked you off the last hedge before careening off into the distance? This is fox hunting, Jennifer. You've never been dumped during fox hunting.
Actually, I haven't.
No, you did. You got your arm broke one day during fox hunting.
Well,
you didn't fall off yet.
No, she did fall off.
Yeah, I got chucked off. Yeah, you're right. I lied.
But the witnesses all told me at the hospital when they called me and said, you need to go find your wife at the hospital. When I went to the hospital, the witnesses all said, she did the full 8 seconds. You should have seen that horse bucking. So apparently you did good. You rode the distance. That's good.
Now, don't you hate it, Jen, when you fall off and people go, wow, that was a really good fall. That was a good fall. You're like, shut up. No, it wasn't. You fall off.
You know what was fun about this one was everybody said, wow, that's the third person he's dumped. It's like, really? You didn't tell me that before?
Yeah, thanks for that.
And he broke other bones. You weren't the first one he broke bones with either. Yeah.
No.
I told her she wasn't allowed to ride that horse anymore. I think she did anyway.
Probably a good call.
Yeah, I don't think she listened to me. The first time your ridiculously gangly baby horse, who has spent 6 months struggling with the fact that he has 4 legs, picks up the correct canter lead twice in a row. Oh, you know, I gotta admit, have you ever had babies? Have you ever done your own babies?
One time.
I got to admit, we have done it several times, too. They are so cute. They are so cute when they're babies. They really are.
I started as I got a yearling, and that's the only horse I've ever started all by myself from start to finish. And let me tell you what, she's probably 20 right now, and I'm pretty sure she still can't pick up her lead.
Is that good fundamental training?
I didn't get a smart one. I didn't get a smart one.
We had a couple ponies that we bred and made some cute little pony babies, and they were fun. They were fun to hang around. The first time you go to the supermarket straight from the barn and wonder why people around you are wrinkling their noses and backing off a bit. I think that, yeah, I think, wow, you forget you have your breeches on or your barn clothes, and then you wonder why. By the way, the second time you don't care anymore. It's like, screw you, just get out of my way.
Jen, I got to ask you this question as a girl, and maybe our listeners too. When I ride, I wear breeches and my paddock boots and half chaps. But I've realized that, you know, you put on the half chaps right before you go to get on, and then you take them off when you're done. But I look really stupid and hideous in just breeches and paddock boots. It looks so stupid. So I've realized that I just continue to wear the half chaps. Like, I go out and I teach and I wear the breeches and the half chaps, and I come in and I cook dinner and I'm still wearing the half chaps because I think it looks stupid without. Are you like that too, or do you walk around in breeches?
You never know when that carrot's going to jump off the counter and smack you in the shin. You never know. You got to be prepared.
That's true.
Yeah.
Jen,
you know what I do? I dump the half chaps, but I am very, very keen that I must have extremely awesome tall socks on.
Tall socks and clogs always looks good. You're right. Yep. You're right. That's another way to go. Perfect.
Yeah, she doesn't wear her half chaps 2 seconds longer than she has to. She's always taking off her half chaps. Two more. The first time you discover your horse lying down having a snooze in his box or in the field and go to join him for an hour's chill. You know, for the first time this morning, I went out to get the scooter in the back field and he was laying down. He's always eating. He takes every advantage he can to eat because during the day we have to restrict his eating. So he's always eating as much as he can at night. He was actually sleeping this morning, but I've never been able to get near him. There's some horses that just will not let you near him when they're laying down, and he's one of them. You can't really get near him when he's laying down.
See, and when you tell me the story of Scooter laying down in the field at a time where he's not usually laying down, Jennifer, what does that make you think of?
Oh, I could tell Glenn's entire body language, his entire aura. I was a half a field away and could see his entire aura changed. He was in complete panic mode when he walked up to that pony. panic.
That's what I was thinking.
I could see the sweat on his brow.
Well, he never lays down by the gate. He was right beside the gate. I've never seen him lay there, and I've never seen him laying down in the morning. He's always eating. But he was just
sleeping. You're going to come on the show Wednesday going, yep, he was colicking.
No, wait, knock on wood. Don't say that. And then the last one, the first time the sun comes out, the rugs come off, the mud disappears, and your horse is sleek and shiny, and you think, oh, yes, this is why I do it. And there's been a few people this year that were swearing all winter long and then had to get to that sport in the spring where they could actually say, yes, this is why I do it. Oh, I don't miss that whole winter thing. So there you go. That was from Horse and Hound.
Good
one. 10 firsts for horse owners. Well, let's take a break for our song here right after we hear from our friends over at Equestrian Collections. We have a dedication today. We got a really nice email from a lady named Jackie, and she requested, she had a lot of nice things to say about the program, and you too, Jamie. And she didn't say a word about you having a fat ass or anything. She didn't say a thing about that. And she requested Marianne Kennedy's Horses in Life. We'll be back right after we hear from Equestrian Collections and our song.
Well, greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and I am here with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com, and she has our product of the week. Take it away, Debbie.
Hi, Jen. This week, I'm featuring something for the cob, oversized, and ponies out there. This week I'm talking about the Horse Spirit Ross Bridle with Reins. This is a fun, schooling, everyday trail riding kind of bridle. It's only $40, $39.95 on our site, www.equestriancollections.com. And the thing that's so fun about it is the brow band and the nose band actually has some bling on it. Black and silver and black and blue. Now, these used to come as well in the regular horse sizes, but they were so popular that they sold out immediately. But that didn't mean I didn't want to talk about this on the radio, because they still have the black and silver in cob, the black and blue in oversize, and the black and blue in pony. So if you, and this thing is so cute, it'd be really, really good for those smaller heads anyhow. So I wanted to feature the Horse Spirit Ross Bridle with Reins. There's a size chart on the site when you look at it. So if you have any questions about what a cob is, then go ahead and take a quick look at that. And I think it's really, really cute. I actually got two of them. They haven't arrived yet, but I had to get a blue one and a silver one.
Well, for those who can't decide, you can get one of each at that price.
Exactly right.
There we go. They're great gift ideas, great ideas for camps. And for those who can't decide and want some bling, get one of each. Well, thanks a lot, Debbie. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jen.
Horses in life, it's all the same to me. The reason that my heart keeps beating inside. Horses and life, passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life. We'll be right back.
Well, that was Horses and Life by Marianne Kennedy, and that was for our listener, Jackie. Thank you so much for your email, Jackie. We appreciate it. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. Don't forget that Coach Jen does another show here on the network. She does the Horse Tip Daily Show. You can hop on over to horsetipdaily.com, and I think she's up to, must be almost 1,200 episodes over there by now. But they're short, 5-10 minutes a day. You can get caught up on all the different tips that we hear from around the network. Plus, she records some special ones just for Horse Tip Daily. You can also search the website really easily if you're looking for dressage tips or photography tips or grooming tips, whatever they are. You just can search that or do the drop-down menus on the left side of the page and find all the tips that relate to what you're doing by professional riders from around the horse world. That's horsetipdaily.com. And tomorrow morning on the show, we're going to have the CHA show, the Certified Horsemanship Association. So tune in for all the training stuff we will be talking about tomorrow. So, Jamie, are you hanging in there in Phoenix?
Still going, baby. Knock on wood, still sleeping. So
we've been lucky. We're going to keep knocking on wood with that while your husband is gone. So that was good. Well, you know what? I see she's here. So let's just go right to it and let's hear from Horse Nation.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. We welcome to the show Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. Hello, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, I noticed over the weekend that there's a horse trial at Chattahoochee Hills, which is in Georgia, which is one state south of you. Did you go and compete?
I did not, no. I wish. It was a beautiful weekend.
It was just gorgeous down there. So how is your pony doing? We haven't got an update in a while.
I know, right? Well, the hilarious thing about Horse Nation and my own horses is, you know, one thing we do at the end of most of the posts is we sort of sign off with a go riding, and but it's funny because I'm always like because I write that, you know, every day or you know, I've written that 1,000 times, and yet oftentimes I'm writing it at the expense of actually getting to go ride my own horse. too much riding about horses, not enough actually time to actually ride horses. But yeah, they're happy and healthy and a little bit chubby. But yeah.
Chubby and unfit. That's okay. We're all a little chubby and unfit, so it works.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, I know that recently you got your old pony back. So your old pony doing okay?
Oh, he's so good. I love him. Yeah. This is refresh. It's my childhood horse that after 16 years of living with another family, he's come back to live with me. He's 24 now, and I got him when he was 3, and so it's just, I love him so much.
I love it. That's great. Now, one of the segments that you guys do, speaking of having horses and getting horses back, is you hashtag something. I watch Jimmy Fallon. Okay, I'm not a Twitterer. See, there you go. I don't even know how to say it. So, being that I'm not a tweeter, there is something that Jimmy Fallon does, which is he starts a hashtag and he lets people reply to the hashtags. And I do it every week because I have his app and you can submit a hashtag because I want to get on his show, but I haven't yet. I never picked mine. And mine are always funnier than the ones that end up on the show. Let me tell you. Crap. But anyway, you guys started a hashtag equestrian problems. Hashtag equestrian problems. And you have a new list this time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because equestrian problems, we all have hashtag equestrian problems. And so why not, you know, so we're sort of gathering them up and compiling them into a post, or Kristen Kovach has. And they're pretty hilarious, and most of them I can relate to. I'll have to read a few of them to you.
Hilarious. I'm like, yep. And say just the exact same thing.
Yeah. So let's see. We've got question problems. It's May 4th, and both my farmer's tan and glove tan are already out of control.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Isn't it nice to have that beautiful, from the wrist to the elbow, gorgeous deep tan? I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Pretty sexy.
Just so attractive.
It's going to limit the skin cancer to your arms. So you'll be fine.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're limiting cancer just to one specific area.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. We've got a left the barn at 5 a.m. this morning and just got back at 9 p.m. so we can leave at 6 again tomorrow.
That one's a groom. She's a groom. You know that, right? Or a working student.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds like a groom.
Yep.
Let's see. When your phone autocorrects who to whoa. let's see. How about this? Which tire? Left hind. I mean, driver's side rear.
Uh-huh. Yep. Every time. It's just without fail. We have a little gator that I drive around. The left hind tire is always low on air. It's the left hind.
Okay, here's a good one. Never fails that when I go to write word equation, I end up writing equitation.
I like the next one. Read the one from Katie. I really like the one from Katie because as a horse husband, we can relate to that. And I love Katie's expression in her picture, too.
Yeah. Putting saddle pads in the wash while my roommates are home.
Yeah.
I do that.
Or you could change that to husband/boyfriend.
Husband, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can change it to horse blankets and husband, because that is what irritates my husband. Seriously, you putting these in the wash? Like, what
then you have to do
them?
An
they
empty run. Then you have to do one empty run at least, if not two, before you put real clothes back in.
Yeah.
No, Glenn, it, like I tell Chad, the dryer picks up all the extra hair from the next load. That's why you have a dryer vent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the next one from Samantha. When the lint trap is filled with more hay than lint. See, it goes in the lint trap.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
I just funny. I don't know.
I'm going to a nice restaurant for dinner with my boyfriend and parents, and I have a hairnet in my purse.
Yeah. You know, I've taken pictures of myself at horse shows. You know, you'll do like a horse show selfie, and you don't realize how odd it is to be walking around with a hairnet on outside of a horse show. It's just, you know, and so you post a picture of yourself and your non-horse friends are like, are you wearing a hairnet? I'm like, duh, of course I am.
Work in a cafeteria.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Oh my goodness. What else have we got here? Pretty sure that during shedding season, the general public assumes I have at least 10 cats. Yeah.
And there's just nothing more comfortable in the winter than fleece. Polar fleece is just the most comfortable item of clothing. But my God, the worst one to wear when it's shedding season. Holy cow.
Oh, the last time, I got to tell you guys, last time we were at PetSmart, speaking of cats, last time we were at PetSmart at the checkout was the old, stereotypical crazy cat lady. And she looked stereotypical crazy cat lady. And we counted, she had 10 of those 50 pound bags of cat food in there and about 8 of the large kitty litter containers. And she had 2 carts. It cost her $425.
What?
I hear that and I'm like, she's doing God's work right there. She is doing God's work.
She's doing something.
At least she's feeding them.
Well, and she, now, she could boxes. Work for the shelter, you know, and being out by the cat. I don't know. But I kind of asked the lady at the checkout, and I knew that she'd seen her before, and she said no. She said that's for her cats at home. So there you go.
Yep. Wow. That's God's work right there.
How can you afford it? I couldn't afford that. Ah, jeez. I couldn't
that's
afford
not any more. That's less expensive than horses. How many cats do you think you would have to be the equivalent expensive wise to keep taking care of a horse?
Well, that is a good point.
That's an interesting thought experiment. Yeah.
There you go.
That is.
There's an article for this week.
Yeah, we're like, who would spend $400 on cat food and cat, you know, blah blah blah. And we're like, oh yeah, I just wrote the, you know, the vet a check for $400 this morning.
For shots.
You know, like we have
for
no,
one
but there's no room to judge.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
glass right. houses.
Okay, I get
good
it.
I love it.
That's called shutting down the host right there. Just.
Yep, right there. That's perfect. I love it. I love it.
Like, oh yeah, those people are so crazy. Wait. Oh yeah.
So, Glenn, the lesson that we just learned is: next time you go to the PetSmart or whatever, and you see that lady, you just go give her a hug.
I have to apologize to her. Yes.
Hug the cat lady.
I'm not sure about hugging the cat lady because I'm afraid of that, but I will maybe apologize.
Now, another one that you guys have is something that it's the time of the year. 6 readers submitted fly masks that Jeff can't even like. And this, I don't understand. Someday somebody is going to invent a fly mask where the lining stays on, the little fleece lining or the colored lining stays on that goes around the fuzz, and the mesh doesn't rip in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
See, but then they wouldn't sell any more fly masks. This is planned obsolescence, right. Jamie. It's planned. It's only going to last you 1 week, and then you're going to have to buy another one. That way they know during the summer you're going to be buying at least 25 fly masks at $15 each.
I seriously would, anytime I make a purchase online, just from SmartPak or from Equestrian Collections, and I just add like 3 or 4 fly masks. Just to the order, whatever I'm getting, just add more because you're going to need them. Chad's like, more fly masks? I'm like, babe, my supply has dwindled down to 2. Like, we need more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, fly masks are me. I mean, it's like I have this horse who just, not only would he disappear his fly masks, like, I could never find them. Like, they literally, like, I don't know if he was sinking them to the bottom of the pond. I don't know if he was throwing them in the woods. But he, like, not only would he manage to always take his fly mask off, it just, like, it was gone without a trace. Never to be seen again.
He put a rock in it and sunk it.
Oh, I'm looking at the pictures here. The third one down with all the burrs in the ears. Oh, my God. We've all dealt with burrs. What a pain they are. Oh, that's awful.
I like how the horse, he's also disgusting just in all over. He's just looking at the camera with his ears pricked like, what?
That's his voice, too. You're right.
A gray, but he's black from all the disgusting dirt mud.
Oh, and he's got burrs all through his ears. Oh, and getting burrs out of the tails. We used to have a lot of them when we lived on our one farm in Pennsylvania. And the horses would come in and it'd be like an hour trying to get them out of there without ripping their entire tail out.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah.
Hashtag equestrian problems.
That's true. Really. That's true.
And what's really frustrating, too, is that you put the fly mask on and then they rip them, or there's a big hole in them, or they lose them completely and they come in like, my eyes.
That's right?
It's going to be crazy. And you're like, seriously, well, then quit wrecking your fly mask. Obviously, this one hits close to home for me. Let's move on.
We're not great problem solvers, that's for sure.
No, they are not. Now, you had an article, you know, everybody spends so much time talking about the horses in the Preakness and who's going to run and what the weather's going to be and what are the odds and are we going to have a triple crown. You guys get to the heart of what the Preakness is all about. Talk to us about your Preakness article.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we try and cover all of our bases, you know, some of them being more, you know, just sort of like cut to the chase, what you need to know, but others, you know, a little further afield. One that we always want to make sure we keep our readers educated about is how to make the official drinks of the official alcoholic beverages of the various Triple Crown racers. You know, for example, you know, for the Derby, we put up a mint julep recipe and instructional video. For so the official drink of the Preakness is the Black Eyed Susan, which actually sounds pretty delicious.
I was just looking at it. It does look sweet and good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like a good summery.
Well, it's got healthy things in it. It's got orange juice, pineapple juice, lime juice, and an orange slice. I mean, it's all healthy.
See, that's your problem, Glenn. That's your problem is that you think that's healthy.
It is. It's orange juice, pineapple juice, all good, healthy stuff. And then a little vodka. Yeah. Yeah. I love how you were specific about which vodkas. Right? You posted the commercial for the vodka company. Got it.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing with the Derby. They always have like the, that specific liquor, brand is the sponsor. I'm sure they pay gobs of money to have their name on it.
We'll give them a plug. Yeah. It's Finlandia vodka, which I can't tell one vodka from the next. They all taste like hairspray to me. But what one of the other things in the recipe is Saint Germain. What is Saint Germain?
What is Saint Germain?
Do you know, Jamie? I don't know what that is.
I don't know, Glenn, because I drink hairspray just straight. I'm good with hairspray.
None of that
fancy stuff. It's a French liqueur flavored with elderflowers.
Well,
there you go.
I don't know why we didn't know that.
It's delicious. how did you not know? So for those who are not staring at Horse Nation right now, just give us a quick rundown of the recipe for those who maybe are listening at 5 o'clock, or it's 5 o'clock somewhere for them. let's go over the recipe.
Or I feel like this is a closely related cousin to the screwdriver, which it's okay to start drinking those early, right? If it's a cocktail that has orange juice in it,
right?
Mimosa,
breakfast.
Then you can start
exactly.
drinking it. It's acceptable to start drinking it anytime.
I agree. Totally.
Absolutely.
So 5 o'clock, somewhere, whatever. You guys, Horses in the Morning listeners, feel empowered to
Of course, we don't encourage drinking before you get out of your pajamas in the morning, because that might indicate something, but, you know. Go ahead. What's in the recipe?
Yeah. Okay. So we've got 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1/2 ounce of the Saint Germain, the elderflower liqueur, 2 ounces of pineapple juice, 1/4 ounce of lime juice, and 3/4 ounce of orange juice, and garnish with a fresh orange slice, or maybe cherry. That'd be cute.
Yeah. For those who don't have a pen, what you're going to do is you're going to take a glass and you're going to fill it about halfway with vodka. Then you're going to put in some liqueur and then just a couple of splashes of pineapple, lime, and orange juice, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
That about right?
That's all.
You know, that Saint Germain liqueur is, you know, you got to know that when you go into the liquor store, it's in one of those really cool bottles. It just sounds like it's in one of those really cool shaped bottles that you look at the bottle and go, I don't care about the stuff in it. I just want to have the bottle. And it seems liqueurs always come in the cool bottles.
I'm going to Google it and just see.
I obviously spend way too much time in a liquor store. I'm just saying. I know. I'm thinking.
When I heard when I heard the word the elderflower liqueur, there was a so I did a story. This is a recurring theme here. I maybe have a problem. I did a story on drinks at Rolex. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. And one of the official Rolex drinks this year had elderflower. It was the, four-star was what it was called. It was this Rolex's signature cocktail made with Maker's Mark elderflower liqueur, pressed apple juice, and ginger ale.
I never heard of elderflowers before. I
still don't know what elderflower is.
I don't either. Okay, Jamie, give us a rundown.
Well, it says here, Glenn, that Saint Germain elderflower liqueur is sold in 200 milliliter bottles, and it has a an exotic bouquet of ripe cantaloupe, papaya, mango, and orange blossoms that draw you in. You know what? Just put it in a shot glass and swirl it back. Let's go.
That did make it sound really good, didn't they?
As my friend Nancy says, and you guys know, she's like, the first sip of your drink. The first sip of your drink in the evening should always burn.
So the second sip doesn't? Is that it?
And so I've stuck to that. Like, if I'm going to make a drink, it should burn. And my husband does not agree with me. He's like, you're supposed to be able to taste everything. I'm like, the first sip should burn, Nancy said.
You know what, too? I always thought they did it backwards. When you go to do the bourbon tastings, I'm sure you guys have done that around Lexington, right? You've gone to the distilleries and done the bourbon tastings. Woodford or one of those.
I went with you.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So you go through the bourbon tasting, and they have, there's three, there's usually three levels of bourbon at each of these distilleries. They have the cheap stuff, they have the middle stuff, and they have the good stuff. Well, when they do the bourbon tasting, they have you taste the cheap stuff and the middle stuff before the good stuff. And you're supposed to see the difference. By the time I get to the good stuff, I can't taste anything. I'm just done. So it all tastes like crap after you get about the second one, because the good one just doesn't taste any different by that point. Your mouth is numb.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Have a swig of gasoline before we hand you the good stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the crap that came out bad. Now here's the good stuff. Give me the good stuff first. All right. Drink How talk funny. In the morning on Horses in the Morning. Monday morning drink talk. And noticed a theme about who brings us drink toast talk every Monday morning lately.
She's really not riding, Glenn. She's got plenty of extra time.
Well,
on her hands.
She is from Tennessee, the land of bootlegged bourbon and whiskey. So.
And moonshine.
They're making moonshine. Last time we were in the mountains there, up at Dolly Parton's home, and we went to one of the moonshine stores. They actually make moonshine and flavors now. The moonshiners are getting fancy.
They're getting fancy.
Yes.
Dude, Costco sells apple pie moonshine.
Really?
Yeah.
You tried it?
Well, how do you think I know about it?
Well, you know, I don't know that that's vegan. Apple pie is not vegan. I'm just saying.
I was at a wedding a couple weeks ago, and it was like BYOB. So people were bringing nice, classy bottles of wine. And
you brought apple pie.
I was at this wedding by myself. It was in my neighborhood. No, and the girl at my table, I somehow got sat at the table with, like, the partiers. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking putting me at a table with partiers. I mean, come on. Like, seriously? What do you think about me? These people brought the apple pie moonshine. And she's like, you have to taste it. You have to taste it. I thank God it was in my neighborhood. I had to walk home. Because it tastes like apple pie.
Bad news.
Did it really taste like apple pie?
Yes. It's insane. It tastes like apple pie. I mean, I was like, oh, my God. She put it on ice, so then it tasted like apple pie a la mode.
A little whipped cream, you'd have been good to go.
That's what I'm talking about.
A little vanilla ice cream on top. Oh, yeah, pour that over vanilla ice cream. Oh, that'd be really good. That would be really good.
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to Costco today. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I'm
Leslie,
like, where did you sneak this in from? She's like, Costco sells it. What? Damn.
Leslie, thank you so much for joining us again. It's horsenation.com. If you're thirsty and need to know something different to make, head on over there, or a little bit about horses, too. They have other stuff. But it's all there. It's all fun. It's all good time. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you. Have a great week.
All right. Take care.
Bye, Leslie. Bye. I'm so glad we don't live close. It'd be dangerous.
I got to give a congratulations out to my neighbor over here in Ocala, right down the street, Chester Weber, who for the second year in a row won over at the Land Rover International Driving Grand Prix at the Windsor Horse Show there in the Queen's backyard. This is the second year. He went into the final phase cones in second place, and he drove a perfect cones round, and the guy in first did not. Boyd XL ended up coming in second, so Chester was really happy. He got to shake the Queen's hand for 2 years in a row now, and he was thrilled about it. I saw an interview with him, so good job, Chester, and good job to his horses. They are German horses, so always do a great job. His German horses actually have a lot of Hackney blood in them, I found out last week on the driving show, so someday Scooter will be a champion.
I'm sure. Just get him to quit headbutting you and knocking me in the
so
nose.
So I can actually drive him. All right. You want to call it a day?
Let's do that.
All right. You got to go see if your son's still in there. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. CHA tomorrow with a training episode. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. And then, of course, next Monday, a week from today, will be a holiday. It's a holiday here in the United States, so we'll be off then. But we'll talk about more about next week's schedule. We'll have a special schedule for next week as well. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jennifer. You guys have a great day. Everybody spay, neuter, and geld.
Wear your helmets to tack up, people. It's dangerous.
Glenn wears it, and 8-year-old.
Yes.
Wear your helmet.
I'm going to start wearing a cup now, too.